Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called V'nigdashti B'toich B'nei Yisrael. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parshas Emor, and that year was also right before Lag BaOmer, in the year Tavshin Mem Zayin, 37 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in this week's Torah portion where it says, V'nigdashni b'toich b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, I'm going to be sanctified amongst the Jewish people. And ever since it's known, the Chassidic discourses on this verse, specifically from the Likutei Torah, which is the classical Chassidic discourses from the Alter Rebbe and the Parsha, which we call the Chassidic Torah portion, and also the Chassidic discourses from the Mittler Rebbe, and also in the Chassidic discourses from the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Chabad Rebbe, in his classical works called Sefer HaMitzvos, the book of explaining the Mitzvos, and also the Chabad Rebbeim after the Alter Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. In other words, what do they explain? Besides the fact that from this verse we learn the commandment of going on Kiddush Hashem, self-sacrifice for Hashem, but also it says in the Zohar that this commandment is to sanctify Hashem every day. And it was every single day we have to go on self-sacrifice. So how do you go on self-sacrifice every day? So it explains we do it by saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in our prayers. And we say afterwards, Baruch Kvod Hashem Koimoi. So we say those two prayers every day, and as an introduction to Shema, and later on the Shemona Esrei. So that's how, according to Isaiah, we fulfill the commandment of going on Mesiras Nefesh every day. And it's explained in the Chassidic discourses what Chazal tell us in the Talmud in Tractate Chulin, that there are three groups of angels that every single day they praise of Hashem. One says Kadosh once, another one says Kadosh Kadosh twice. And the third one says, Kadosh, 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 three times Hashem Tzvokos. That's what it says in the Talmud. And it's explained, the author explains in the Likutei Torah, that these three levels are the three levels of the angels that say Kadosh, and he explains it on a spiritual level. One is Melmata Lamayla, you're elevating the world. One is Melmata Lamata, to bring it down. And the other one is going on Mesiras Nefesh B'chol Moedcha. And again, the author explains at length the spiritual significance of what it says in the Talmud about the three different levels of the angels. Okay. Whoever says, but nevertheless, In this explanation, there's actually two different types of explanations that explain the Chassidic discourses, and we don't actually pay attention to it. And like we mentioned many, many times, that simple things, people don't pay attention to, the simplicity of life. In other words, if you look at the Talmud in Tractate Chulin, where it says that there's three groups of angels, that one says Kadosh, and the other one says twice Kadosh, and the other one says three times Kadosh. So it's the same word. One is saying it once, one is saying it twice, and one is saying it three times. But if you look in the Chassidic discourse, the way he explains the different levels, it's actually referring to not just Kadosh, Kadosh, and Kadosh, the same word saying it once, twice, or three times, but it's a different level of Kadosh. Like we explained, the Alter Rebbe said is the first one is elevating the world, the other one is bringing light into the world, the other one is Mesiras Nefesh. So we have to understand the difference between these two ideas. We're either just quantitatively adding to Kadosh, it's the same idea, or it's three different types of serving Hashem. So Rebbe explains and he says as follows. It's brought down the Chassidic discourses that what is the first level of Kadosh? It's referring to the level of self-sacrifice. What type of self-sacrifice? The union of Av and Aim, which we know is Chochmah and Bina. So that's the first level. The first level of self-sacrifice is, we know Chochmah is on one side, Bina is on the other side. When you unite Chochmah and Bina, that's self-sacrifice for Chochmah and for Bina. That's the first Kaddish. What is the second Kaddish? It's referring to learning Torah. Learning Torah is also a level of self-sacrifice. And the third level of Kadosh is referring to our mitzvahs, our physical mitzvahs. And these three levels of the union of Chachma Bina, learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, those are the three pillars that the world stands on, which is learning Torah. charity, which is all the mitzvahs, and prayer. So in other words, so based on this, it's literally every kaddish has its own thing and its own place. Everything has its own identity. And like we see literally, because we know clearly, there's a time for prayer, and there's a time for Torah study, and there's a time for doing mitzvot, and there's a time for dealing with worldly affairs. So you see, everything has its own place. And like it's brought down in the Talmud, Jerusalem Talmud, in reference to Rashbi, Rav Shimon Yochai, that he was someone that always learned Torah. He was dedicated to learning Torah. And he actually had to stop to go ahead and to build a sukkah and to shake the little benesreg. So what do you see? That Torah is its own world, and he stopped to do a different world of doing mitzvahs. And he had to literally pause from a world that he's in. So you see that prayer is one world, Torah is another world, and mitzvahs is another world. And you can say the reason on a spiritual level that even though he stopped to do a mitzvah, he still called somebody that his whole occupation was learning Torah. Why? Because his learning Torah never really stopped. He stopped to do a mitzvah because his learning Torah continued even while he was doing the mitzvah. In other words, the Torah never ended by him. So even though he paused and he took a break, but Torah was penetrating through his experience of doing the mitzvah. That's in reference to Rav Shimon Yochai. And there's the same thing also we find in reference from Yehuda, where it says in the Mishnah and the Talmud that he would pray only once in 30 days. In other words, so what does that mean? He didn't pray? No, because his prayer wasn't a way that for the 30 days that he wasn't praying, the prayer was taking place, even though he technically wasn't praying at that moment. In other words, not only the effect of the prayer, but literally the prayer was happening even while he wasn't praying. Where do we find this? Like it's brought down there. Here's a practical example that, for example, it says that on Pesach, we don't make a Shechianu, which is a blessing that we say when something new happens, a whole Pesach. Why don't we make a Shechianu every day? Because the Shechianu from the beginning of the Yom Tov, that lasts the whole Yom Tov. So just like Shechianu from the beginning of the last the whole Yom Tov, the same thing also, his prayer once in 30 days lasts the whole 30 days. But nevertheless, what do we see from here? That's two different worlds. In other words, there's the world of Torah, and there's the world of action. And like we see, like the case of Rashbi, he was learning Torah and he had to stop to do a mitzvah. Or like from the story from Yehuda, where he was basically, he prayed and then he stopped to do a mitzvah. And you see, it's two different spiritual works and two different times and two different energies. And just like, for example, the example the Rebbe gave in the holiday of Pesach, even though the blessing of Shechianu, you do it in the beginning, but it lasts the whole Pesach, so you see that it has an effect in everything you're doing the whole Pesach, and eating the matzah, and etc. So in other words, the point I was trying to bring out from here, that what did we learn before? That Kadosh, one is Mesiras Nefesh, one is learning Torah, one is doing mitzvahs, one is praying, so you see that every one is its own Kadosh, it's unique, it's separate. But this that we say, that one group of angels says once Kaddish, one said it twice, and one said it three times. So what do we see? That it's combining it all together, and they're all happening at once. So on one hand, we're saying is that they're each separate, and the other hand, we're saying no, it's all one, based on the simple meaning from the Talmud. One said once, twice, three times, that they bunched it all together. Rebbe said he'd like to connect this with the spiritual work of the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Yochai, where when the Rebbe said the Chassidic discourse, the next day was the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Yochai, Lag BaOmer, and he says it's known, the explanation, the author explains in Likutei Torah, that how is it that the Rashbi, he kept the mitzvahs in the cave, he was in the cave for all those years, how did he keep the mitzvahs? In other words, he couldn't eat physical matzah, he didn't have matzah, materially. Now, even you're going to say, one second, he was in the cave, he had no matzah, so he's someone that's technically exempt. He's exempt, he doesn't have it. How can he do it? But nevertheless, that's true. Let's say somebody's in a situation, for whatever reason, they're in a faraway place, and it, not intentionally, and they're not around for Pesach, and there's no way for them to eat matzah. They really would love to eat matzah. They want to eat matzah, but they don't have the matzah. Guess what? What do we say? We say that oinus, someone that unfortunately against his will, against her will, against the person's will, they don't have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, so the Torah says, fine, you're exempt. But there's another expression that says, command the Ovid lo yamrinon. True, you're exempt, but you can say that you fulfilled drawing in that light. You're exempt, but he says, okay, fine. There's nothing, we're not going to hold it against you. But bottom line is, you didn't draw in the light. So if the question is, how did the Rashbi go without doing mitzvahs? How come he wasn't able to draw the light in? Yes, he was exempt, but he wasn't able to draw the light in. So how did he go all these years without doing the mitzvahs? And it's explained that yes, he did the mitzvahs. How did he do the mitzvahs? On a spiritual level. He did the mitzvahs on a spiritual level. And like for Sam, that it says, like it's explained, it says on a spiritual level that the soul of Rashbi was in the level of the Leviathan. What is the Leviathan? It comes from the word, Yilavah, Ishi'alai, where basically it's cleaving to Hashem. In other words, he was able to unify Chachma and Bina, intellect, the two levels of intellect. He was able to have the level of self-sacrifice. And therefore, because he was in such a high level, he unified Chachma and Bina, and he was Mesiras Nefesh, he was able to fulfill the mitzvahs, what? On a spiritual level. Now, Rebbe says, one second. Amazing. The Rashbi was a very high level, and he fulfilled the mitzvahs on a spiritual level. But the question is, one second, why didn't he fulfill the mitzvahs on a materialistic level? Why didn't he eat matzah? How does he have matzah? Guess what? We're talking to Rashbi. He was a miracle man. He could have made miracles and he would have had matzah by him. In materialistic world, in finite calculations, yeah, he was in a cave, he had no access to it. But he could have made a miracle. Matzahs would have showed up. He would have had the matzah, he would have had a sukkah, he would have had a lulav, he would have had anything he needed. And like, for example, the Rebbe brings in the famous story in the prophets that the prophet Elijah, that he ate, and then he was going on a trip, and he didn't eat for 40 days. And the food from the first day lasted him for 40 days. Now, how is that possible? You can't live without eating for 40 days, because it was a miracle. And not only that was one miracle with Elijah, another miracle is that the ravens brought him bread. And they brought it to him from the house of Achav. And that itself was a miracle. That the bread they brought him was specifically from the house of Achav. But it's another whole discussion about that miracle within the miracle. But what do you see from the story of Elijah? That A, he was able to do a miracle and he was able not to eat for 40 days. Or the ravens brought him the food. And especially by the Rashbi, we know that there was a miracle in reference to his eating and drinking. Because we know the fact is there was a miracle there, and all of a sudden he had a tree, a carob tree, and all of a sudden there was a stream of water that came there. So guess what? He could have had the same way he had a miracle that the carob tree was there, and the water was there. He could have had all of a sudden a sukkah show up, and a lulav show up, and for Pesach a matzah, everything that he needed would have showed up. Now, it's a side note, which is an important note. There was that some people say that stream of water that provided the Rashbi in his cave water, that stream, or the flow of it, still exists. And the same thing also, that tree, or a child, an offshoot of that tree, still exists in Pekin, in Eretz Yisrael. So next time you go to Eretz Yisrael, take a trip to Pekin, and look for the stream, and look for the carob tree. Okay, so the question then is, if that's the case, so why didn't the Hashem do a miracle for him? They should have his matzah, and his sukkah, and his lulav, and all the stuff he needed. So Rebbe says, but this will understand this based on what's explained elsewhere, that when a person has to do a mitzvah, a materialistic mitzvah, and I'll say it in Hebrew, a mitzvah begashmias, you have to do materialistic mitzvah, so you have to do it based on a physical nature. In other words, if you have to do a spiritual mitzvah, fine, but if you have to do a physical mitzvah, it has to be done in a physical way. And it's known, the famous story of the previous Rebbe, and he said about the first Chabad Alter Rebbe, that when he was in prison, and he wanted to go ahead and he wanted to sanctify the moon, when he was traveling on the boat in the river, and he did not want, and the non-Jew that was driving the boat didn't want to stop. So what happened was the Alter Rebbe stopped the boat, and it was a miracle. And then after he stopped it, he didn't do Kiddush Lavona. He stopped it. And the non-Jew saw that the Alter Rebbe has the power to stop it. Then he allowed it to go again. And then he asked the non-Jew he should stop the boat on his own. So the question is asked, what do you mean? The Alter Rebbe stopped the boat. He should have done Kiddush Lavona. And if he wasn't going to do it, so why did he stop the boat? But what did he want? In other words, he wanted, to stop the boat, to show him that he can stop the boat. And then it went going. And then when the non-Jew stopped, that's when he did Kiddush Lavona. That's when he sanctified the moon. Why? Because when you come to sanctifying the moon, which you have to do it, yes, what you can't do when the boat is moving, which because you basically you're when you're sanctifying the moon, you basically accept you're going to greet Hashem, and because when it comes to doing a mitzvah, you have to do a mitzvah in a materialistic way. It has to be done in a natural materialistic way, and that's why the Alter wanted specifically the boat should be stopped by the captain. And that's why the Rashbi, even though, yes, you don't think the Rashbi could have pulled in matzah, he could have pulled in a sukkah, a lulav, he could pull anything he wanted. But when you're dealing with the physical mitzvah, the matzah, it has to come in a natural physical way. Food, you have to eat. It's not a mitzvah to eat. You have to eat to survive. So that he did a miracle for it, to drink. He needed to drink. So he did a miracle for that. But when it comes to a mitzvah is not done in a miraculous way. He liked to connect this with the days of Sfiras Omer, counting the Omer, because we know that when it comes to bring the sacrifice to Omer, so the verse says Mimoy Shvoy Seichem, which means from the place that you're dwelling, and it has to be specifically from the place that you're dwelling. Like the verse says clearly, when you'll come to the land and you're going to bring the Omer, and so was that you have to bring it from the place that you have to bring it from the Eretz Yisrael. And up to the point, there's actually a question in Talmud, what happens if wheat came from the clouds? In other words, are they kosher for the bread that's brought for Shavuos? But why? Because it says, Mimoshvay Sekhem from your dwelling, and here it came from the cloud. In other words, now it could have came from the cloud in two ways. One is a miracle. All of a sudden, boom, the cloud sends down wheat. Or the clouds blew it in from a place outside Israel into Israel. So what do you see from here? Since it has to be Moshe, when you live in, it has to grow in Israel. It can't come from a cloud that's bringing it from a miracle or from another place. Why? Because it has to come from the physical place. You can say that that's the whole idea of Sfiras Omer, counting the Omer. What does it say in the verse? You should count from the day after Shabbat, which is referring to the day after Pesach, first day of Pesach. You count 7 weeks. In other words, what's the whole purpose of counting? The whole purpose of counting is elevating the world. In other words, in Kabbalistic terms, it has to be done in a natural way. In other words, one day and another day until you reach, you have 7 complete weeks. So what do you see from here? When it comes to doing a mitzvah, it's all about transforming self, transforming the physical world. So what do we see from here? That the main purpose of serving Hashem has to be done in a natural way and a physical way. And therefore, the mitzvah of the Rishbi in the cave wasn't done in a miraculous way. It was not done in a miraculous way that he had it in a physical level. But he still wanted to have the spiritual connection. So he did it on a spiritual level. Like we said, Leviathan, that means he connected to Hashem. But to go ahead and do it in a physical way with a miracle, that's not the purpose. So based on this, it explains that you could say that by the Rashbi, there was two types of serving Hashem. In other words, when he was in the cave, so then how did he serve Hashem? All spiritual stuff. So therefore, because it was all spiritual, then you can have all three can be together. Because in spiritual, there's no delineation between right, left, middle, higher, lower. It's spiritual, therefore you can have it all three together. In other words, you can have learning Torah, you can have prayer, you can have mitzvot, all in one pot. Why? Because in all of them, it's all about connecting to Hashem. Just like, for example, self-sacrifice. That even his learning Torah and his doing mitzvot, in the cave was also in a level of self-sacrifice. Like he says, "Bechad Katir is Katarna." He connected to Hashem in one connection, and that's the explanation where it says that one group says Kadosh, 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 meaning they're saying the same word, they're saying it multiple times, because on a spiritual level, yes, the angels can do it all together, even though this is prayer and this is Torah study and this is mitzvot. But on a spiritual level, it can all be united. However, when he left the cave, and over there, you have to do a mitzvah, and you have to do it in a physical way, and you have to learn Torah and sit down and learn Torah, and it has to be done in a physical way, materialistic way, literally, and that's where you have the separation between the time for prayer, the time for Torah study, and the time for doing mitzvahs. So what they're explaining is that if you're dealing with it on a spiritual level, yes, there's Torah, this prayer and this mitzvah, it can all be done together on a spiritual level. But when it comes in the physical world, there's time to pray, and there's time to Torah study, and there's time to do mitzvahs. And then we finish up, and he says, just like the way it was by the Rashbi. So the same thing also, this comes down to every single one of the Jewish people, that there's a separate time, that for each thing, there's a time to learn Torah and praying, doing mitzvahs. But then again, on a spiritual level, there's a time when it's all unified together. So there's two different avoidas. We all have the spiritual part of us that we can do it all together, but the physical part that we have to do each one separate. And this comes down, and especially, as the Rebbe said, the Chassid Gisko was right before Lag BaOmer, and Lag BaOmer, all the energy of Rashbi come down to this world, and it gets revealed in the physical world, and he affects tremendous blessings blessings and yeshuot in the world, up to the point where it's called the day of his celebration of the Rashbi. And when we do our spiritual work, in those praying, and learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, will come to the fulfillment. What it says in the beginning of the next week's Torah portion, Kisavoyu al aretz, we're all going to enter the land, Eretz Yisrael, and Beshafsa aretz Shabbos Lashem, the land is going to rest to Hashem, and we know we're going to have the 6 years of working the land, and all referring to the great blessings of the land of Israel. Notice it should happen to Pashtus, not in the spiritual, we should have the land of Israel, but literally should have the land of Israel, Bimheira, the Yameinu, Mamash, quickly in our days, but again, not in a spiritual, but mamash, literally in a physical way. Here we have again another beautiful Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe, and he shows us how one hand, yes, from a spiritual level, Torah, prayer, mitzvahs, it's all amazing, it's all good, but the ultimate goal is to bring it down to this physical world, and that's where you need real Torah, real prayer, real mitzvahs, and like Rebbe finishes off, the physical part of the land of Israel, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Have a great and blessed week, and let's pray and pray next week. Class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a good week.